Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest, Zachary Irving, is a director and writer of the award-winning indie thriller Nothing Without You. He's been producing and directing film and television for over 20 years, and Zachary has been making documentary programming for such series as the Emmy Award-winning Trauma, Life in the ER on TLC, The First 48 on A&E, and Dallas SWAT on A&E. Zachary studied filmmaking at New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. And Carol, you've known Zachary since 1996 when he won the Roy Dean Film Grant for his documentary American Chain Gang.
Yes, that was a great night, wasn't it, Zachary? We had a lot of fun then.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I benefited so much from our relationship and from what the fund has had given me in my early stages of my career. So many of us have benefited from your guidance and I'd say even your friendship, giving us great advice and connecting us with the resources we needed to get started in our career.
Thank you so much for that, because that's what we put our time into. It means a lot to hear the success. Well, the thing was that your program, I loved your film, and I loved the way you pitched it. And we were just talking about pitching in the intentional filmmaking class. Everybody is so afraid to pitch. Even in classes where I get people to work with me to pitch, they don't want to pitch in front of other people. And that's why you won the award. In my mind, you were the winner because of your pitch. You were totally connected to your film. And you certainly are connected to the new feature that you're doing. I'm so proud of your winning that award. Tell us the award you won, Zachary.
Yeah, well, we won a prize at the Toronto Independent Film Festival for our budget category. We won Best Feature, and we were also the closing night film at the Twin Cities Film Fest, where our lead actress, Emily Fradenberg, won a breakthrough award for performance in the lead role. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, that passion that we try to communicate when we pitch our films, it's what carries us through every stage of the way through the distribution of the film. So that was something I think I learned from you early on, is that, you know, each film has a life of its own. And to really embrace the film as it sort of becomes a reality, even if it's a reality that you couldn't imagine, every step of the way, having that enthusiasm and communicating it, it's been really an essential lesson I've learned.
Enthusiasm is a good word. You have to be up on your own film, because if you're not, why should they? I mean, you've got to get people excited about what you're doing, right?
I think it's essential. And it's also part of a successful campaign for any film is to communicate what's exciting to you about your film to others. Because there's a reason that a filmmaker invests so much time, energy, and money in a project. It's because there's something there that they really are devoted to communicating and creating something that the world should see. And I think it's important to keep in mind what those things are as you move forward, because those things can be those elements, those core elements of your film. Keeping those in mind can carry you through every play and helping you to engage with people that can help you make your film, get your film made, and also your potential audience, which is what I wanted to talk about today.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So the core elements of your film, I want to get into that. But first, I just wanted to mention that your film will soon be available on iTunes and Amazon.
That's right. Yeah, our film is going to be, it's already in pre-order at iTunes. And if you search iTunes under movies, our film is called Nothing Without You. And it goes live for download and rental on March 24th on iTunes and Amazon. It will also be available on Google Play, we just learned, in early April. So we're getting out there. And it's been kind of the last step of a long but enjoyable journey for us. And it's really exciting for us to have it available for a wide audience.
Okay, I'm just marking that in my calendar. Nothing Without You is March 24th. That's going to be exciting. Even though I've seen it, I've read the script many times, but I don't want to miss it on Amazon. I think that's going to be wonderful. So,
Thank you.
I heard that you have to have a sizable number of people on your Facebook page to get onto iTunes. Is that right?
Well, it's one of the elements. I mean, I think it's important to iTunes is kind of the toughest nut to crack, but the kind of a combination of things. One is having a distributor or an aggregators, which is what we use, to help you get on, but they don't accept every film. Part of what's important is, you know, a festival run is good. It adds credibility. Certainly our last film, American Chain Gang, has distribution. And the social media engagement is important, too. It gives credibility for any film, no matter what your goal is for distribution. You know, engaging with an audience is part of what, you know, even the biggest studios, it's the same principle that applies to the independent filmmaker with a very low budget, to the biggest budgeted films use the same idea, that the importance of engaging with an audience, promoting your film, is extremely important to everyone. Big budget films many times will use as much as they spend on the production of the film to promote it, many times more than what they spent making the film to promote it. So it's a big step to think about along the way, is how can you engage the audience that would want to see your film?
Exactly. The comment is that Hollywood is not a movie-making town. Hollywood is a movie-marketing town.
That's right. Marketing is so important for filmmakers at every level. And, you know, it's easier than ever to engage an audience, but also it's surprisingly difficult to connect with an audience that you will hope ultimately would, you know, pay to see your film. You know, and there's the big reason for that is the good news is it's easier than ever to make a film with a high production value. It's not easy, but it's easier than ever to do that. But because of that, there are so many other good films being released, and just there's an overabundance, for better or worse, of films being released each year. So I think it's important as a filmmaker is when you're making a film, you should apply yourself to make the best film you can, best film as possible that you can make. But you should also be thinking about how to separate yourself from the pack. You might think of many thousands of films being made same time yours is, and you need to think about what's unique in your film as in every step of the way, and think about defining what those core assets are. That those core assets might be something at the beginning of your film, and then they might be something that's developed along the way of production and post-production. It's unique and something you kind of want to celebrate about your film that you can communicate enthusiastically to a potential audience.
Well said. Right. So let's talk to me some more about these core assets and tell me, you know, how you would use these assets to find your paying audience.
Sure, of course. I mean, you should think about, you know, what is unique about your film. And, you know, there's exposure, you know, has a great value, the value of exposure and promotion of your film. It's similar to a financial currency. It has value. It's a resource that is finite. It can build upon itself and even pay dividends. So for indie filmmakers, you need to think about what is unique that you can celebrate and promote about your film. And your core assets could be anything from the performance in your film, the genre, a unique approach to telling a story, the subject matter of the film, if it's topical, you know, elements that make the film unique and whatever you think is outstanding about your film. Make a list of them and connect with an audience that, you know, values those same things. For our film, American Chain Gang, the first one, it was about people being incarcerated in forced labor prison programs. So that was a little easier for us to define what elements separated it because it was the only feature in which documentary feature that focused on the subject, modern chain gangs. Our film, Nothing Without You, it's an indie psychological thriller, and we compared it to, early on, what other films that were out there that had similar qualities. Our film focuses on a female lead who's fully dimensionalized, and our fully dimensional lead character, who has a perspective on reality that's brought into question. So we looked at films that had similar approaches to the genre of a psychological thriller, suspense thriller, such as Memento, The Sixth Sense, and The Machinist. Those, of course, were films that had higher budgets, but we looked at what audience would like those kind of films. We also looked at people who would enjoy seeing a female lead character who is at the center of a story and not a romantic interest, but someone who in each scene really drives the action and is someone I think is a dynamic character who really, puts a twist on the genre in a way. So we also have a plot that is driven by plot twists. And this is a genre that has a long history in Hollywood. So we drew upon people who like thrillers, people who enjoy watching a rich story with the main character who is, a woman in a film that is, I think, a complex character at the center. And then we looked at also people who just like watching independent films. And we looked at resources we could get to connect with our audience, such as social media, hashtags of films similar to the ones we like, also blogs and websites that focus on especially independent film. And during the film festival run and our screen series run, nothing beats connecting with people directly and asking them after they've seen a film what elements that they liked about it. And that helped us really kind of refine the ideas of what our core assets were. But you should always be thinking about what is unique, what resonates with your audience, and what separate your film from all the others.
Definitely, because there are a lot of films being made now. But we also have this explosion of the need for product. Don't you see that working in our favor? As long as you have a good script to start with, right?
That's right. And it's absolutely, there's a hunger for content, for sure. that's a really good thing. There's just so many more outlets, and people have sophisticated tastes. They like films of almost, you know, of any genre. But there's an ocean of content there, and we have the same problem that any film production company would have, which is how do we separate our film and how do we connect and engage with an audience that will want to watch our film? So these are the things that that's the same problem that has always existed. But the the thing that's working in our favor is it's easier to get our film out there, but it's a little bit more of a competitive, even though that there's more even though there's more venues to share your film with, you can still kind of get lost in the multitude of options of films to watch. So you just need to be thinking about what is unique about your film and see a way to highlight that in connecting with your audience.
Exactly. Well, thank you for all the tips that you gave us about how you outlined your film, because that's really the most important thing. You have to market your own film. They expect you at iTunes and Amazon and other places. They expect you to drive people to those sites to see your film, don't they?
Sure. You know, you get onto iTunes through a distributor or an aggregator. We went with an aggregator. And an aggregator does not promote film. That's up to you, or you hire a publicist to do it. But even if you have a distributor, as we did with our last film, American Chain Gang, yeah, your direct engagement with an audience is extremely important, and it drives sales. It drives traffic to websites that either sell your film or promote your film. But, you know, think of the promotion of your film having its own value, a value into itself, which is, you're promoting the product of your film. You're also promoting yourself as an artist. You're promoting the people that work with you in that film. And you know, it's really hard to get attention for a film. Even a festival winner, there's a short attention span in the audience that has so many options for films to watch. So you need to be proactive the entire time. And I would say even during pre-production, think about things that you can present. Think about what you can have as your promotional campaign, elements, visual elements. Take photographs as soon as you can, visual elements that you can share to tell the story of the making of your film. Because that's part of what you're communicating is what was the process you used to make the film. Because a lot of people who like filmmaking want to see the process, and they want to see how you got to a certain point, how you got your film made.
Exactly.
It kind of enriches.
You are so right. I want to interrupt you and say that when we were working on our website, we started asking, we have hundreds of filmmakers who are physically sponsored by us, and we said to them, send us some production stills. Are you kidding? They weren't taking photos of the production. I mean, when they're on the set or when they're taking an interview, they didn't get all these stills. And this is what we want to see. So more production stills. It's very important.
It's easy to forget because you're putting so much effort into, you know, creating the images that are part of your film. But the thing is, everybody has an iPhone or a camera phone or even better, you know, an SLR camera. It's very inexpensive these days. Taking these images are extremely, extremely important. And I would say start during pre-production, you know, when you do table reads of your narrative film or when you do research for your documentary, you know, documenting this, if nothing else, could be part of your, what used to be DVD extras, now would be supplemental content on your, of your film. You know, you're documenting the making of, and I think so many people who are consumers of independent film, lower budget film, are also interested in the story, not just that you're sharing, but the story of making your film. That's an added thing that really enriches the experience of watching the film. You want people to sort of, you know, that's one of the core assets is how did you get the film made? And you know, giving people an option to be able to see that some way is extremely important. You know, social media it's a visual medium. You know, images, even in Twitter, it's extremely important to have that. And people engage a lot more with it. They can identify you know, you and your team as artists that way.
Yes, exactly. These are really good tips, Zachary. Thank you very much. So let's go over these five steps to a successfully engaged promotional campaign. The first is to identify the core assets. So
yes. Yeah, there are five steps, and I'm going to go over them real quickly, and I'll get into a little more bit more detail. But, yeah, they're involved. The first is identifying the core assets. The second is highlighting these core assets. The third is connecting with an audience, with people who value those assets. The fourth is exposing those core assets. And the five is repeat the process. So I'll start with the first. And the reason we repeat is this is a creative process just like any other, where there's trial and error. There's your initial ideas, and then they're refined over time and experience. So, you know, see it as an artist does, as a creative endeavor that can yield results to further develop as an artist and your product, your film. So I'll start with the first, identifying the core assets. We went into that a little bit, but identify what is unique about your film. What resonates with your target audience? And what separates your film from all the others? Those are questions you should be asking yourself. They'll help separate you from the pack. You know, it can be the talent, the artists in your film or the subjects of your film. It could be your story. It could be the performances in the film. It could be the subject matter. It could be a genre, or it could be a unique approach to the story, the viewpoint. What is, you know, what are the things you can highlight about your film that are unique? And also, what arena is it in, i.e. like if it's a genre film, if it's a horror film or it's a documentary, in that world, what is it similar to, and how does it compare contrast from something that people can know as have as a known quantity in their mind? You know, it's not the worst thing in the world is to a successful model, but then think about what in comparison separate your film from something that people already know. So identifying the core assets would be the first step. The second step is highlighting these assets. And everything you do, we talked about this just earlier, is everything you do when you communicate about your project, hit those points, and it's going to bring people who are potentially interested in you to your film. And think of new ways to package these assets. So, for example, in American Chain Gang, our film was about prisoners and corrections officers before, during, and after the release from these controversial programs. And this was something, this access had been never granted to a feature filmmaker before, and the stories that they told were quite unique. It was also easy to think of ways to package this because this has a very deep historical connection the chain gangs, many people argued, were holdovers from the slavery, and the slave labor base was replaced by the chain gangs in the late 1800s to mid-20th century. So comparing what historically the chain gangs had a very dark page, I would argue, in history to what was happening now was a short way of explaining what our film was about and something that was unique. So this film, Nothing Without You, what we try to package in this is a film that, like the others I mentioned, like Memento, Sixth Sense, The Machinist, brings into question the viewpoint of our main character. You know, we compare this film, but it's an indie film that's made on a modest budget that embraces sort of a verite that has these other films have male leads. This is a female that's dimensionalized and keeps you guessing through the story. So those were some of the assets that we highlighted in both those films. Thirdly, connecting with people who value those. So I would say start conversations with potential audiences, organizations, blogs, anyone who represents and serves the community or the fan base that you're looking for. And basically a chance to test out what is resonating what you're identifying as your core assets and seeing if it's kind of resonating with that community. The fourth thing is exposing your core assets. Feature what you have and give people a sense of how those assets are used in your project. This is a chance to tease and intrigue your potential audience. Developing a transmedia campaign, establishing a strong social media presence, and writing compelling press releases are essential. And transmedia is kind of a fun way to engage an audience. Basically, transmedia is a short way of explaining what that is what DVD extras used to be. Basically, short-form projects that explore the world of your film, fake news articles, things that give the viewer who give a sense of the world of your film for engagement without actually seeing the content of your film. So for Nothing Without You, we created a website called jenniferstidger.com. Jennifer is the main character of our film. If you go to that website, you can see these videos we made, these fake sessions, therapy sessions that the character had that give you backstory to the character. We also did a campaign video for one of the characters of our film is running for mayor. So these are opportunities for people to sort of take a look at the world of your film and just kind of have fun with them. But don't forget the fundamentals of promotion, which is essentially good writing and writing a good, compelling press release that can identify those core assets. And then finally, repeat. Go through all these steps and modify them as you go, especially when you understand the importance of keeping the message out there. Because for any kind of film, it can take a long time for you to get to the final stop on the station, which is distribution. So as you go through these steps, see what's working and build on them.
Exactly. Oh, that's so well described. Thank you very much. We've got those. And, yes, it's just the repetition. Now, I took a class in feature film marketing, and they said that the trailers in the theater, if you see a trailer four times, chances are you probably won't be back to see the film. But the magic number seems to be 6 to 8 times. If you see it that many times, you'll definitely be in there to see it. It's the repetition that works. Amazing.
I gotta write that down, 6 to 8 times. That's good.
8 times, and you've got them, right? So you did a good job. You were explaining what separates your film from the others, and because yours was a thriller, you worked for the main character's grasp of reality is brought into question. So you want to tell us any more about that section?
Yeah, so one of the things I like about thrillers, and one of the reasons I made this film, is because I enjoy the experience of watching a film where you're just not sure about what's going to happen next, and you're just not sure about the character you're identifying with. If that character is, in this case, sane or insane, or guilty or innocent of a murder of which he's accused. And the challenge in making the film was, how do we also keep this person consistently empathetic, likable, and someone you pull for no matter what? So we had a lot of fun writing the script. Emily Fredenberg and the cast around her did a magnificent job of working with these characters and their interaction to create this interplay that drives the film. So that was a lot of fun for us, and that's part of the experience that we try to communicate. You know, I think building your brand as an artist, and part of what you promote is your brand as a filmmaker, and you want to communicate to the world, or at least a fan base that you try to get, is what is motivating you and your team to make this film. Because the film itself, watch it, that's the end goal. But how do you get people to identify with the brand of your film, the brand of you as an artist, the brand of you and your team for you, and want to see what you've created on this project and others? And that's extremely important to kind of articulate to yourself. And, you know, this is something you can talk with your creative team about, you know, what's our brand? What can we show in making this film and our body of work even moving forward? It's, you know, how do we present who we are as artists? Take pictures and think about how you want to communicate the brand of your film through promoting it every step of the way.
Every step is very important. Well, but I want to commend you on the script because I will tell everybody, I read, I think, the second revision, and then I read the 30th, and then I read the 52nd. And I love that you never gave up. You kept working on that script, and you sprinkled it with just enough clues so you felt like you had an idea of who it might be, but you weren't sure. And this is exactly what I like in a good thriller. I need clues, but don't tell me too much, you know. I want to find it out myself. And I never did with your film. It was great.
Well, thanks. You know, that's also an example of how encouraging you are. I appreciate you reading a few drafts over the years and seeing being an advocate for my film throughout the different phases of pre-production into distribution. So your support, breathed a lot of life into both these projects. So thank you so much, Carol.
Oh, you're welcome. I really loved it. And this is what it takes, because you have a fantastic script, and that's what they want. That's what they want. Well, okay, I wanted you to tell me why you took an aggravator over doing it yourself. Did you find it
sure.
was beneficial?
Yeah, you know, we did. The first film, we had two distributors, and it was a great process. They help you get the press. They get it out to the world. But I think on this film, it made more sense for us to go with an aggregator for a couple of reasons. One is your revenue share is you expect it to be higher, and you can also drive the success of your film directly. They don't provide opportunities to promote your film, but this is a great time to use what you would be taking out of the revenue you might get back. That could be a huge cut, and it can actually prevent you from seeing any revenue from distributor. That is the promotional cost of your film. If you take it upon yourself to do, then that's more of the revenue you'll see. So we thought for this film, having an aggregator seems to be a production model that is extremely appealing to us, and it's been a trend for friends of ours that are filmmakers that are putting their films out into the world, even pretty much bigger budgeted films to share to an audience. I wonder what that trend's going to be in the next few years. Aggregators have the same ability to get you on platforms that distributors do, and, you know, they take a little less money, a lot less money. Sometimes they take no money, and you give them an upfront fee for putting you on a platform. So we thought this was a great opportunity for us to go into that production model. We'll see. You know, we'll see how it turns out. But so far, we're happy with the platforms we've been getting on.
Well, and what about foreign? Are you thinking of that?
Yeah, it's something to do through a few different platforms. iTunes requires a translation, but you can submit to other territories. We're going to be submitting to the UK, New Zealand, and other English territories, looking at a translation for Spanish, Portuguese, and German to share with those markets as well. But you can also do it with paywalls such as VHX and Vimeo, where you can decide which territories yourself you want to share the film with. And this is a good opportunity to see or use the same idea of promoting your film, trial and error, and seeing which territories respond to your film. If you have an audience overseas that may connect with your film, you might want to provide it different, more than one platform in that story.
Okay.
So it's kind of exciting to have a lot of options, you know, to share your film through different platforms. And there's paywalls, there's advertised forms that you get paid on, like Hulu, on how many ads play during your film. And those are sort of like probably your, maybe your second or third tier of release, you know, beyond iTunes, Google, and Amazon. So it's kind of interesting. You can see in a few months how well your film is doing on these platforms.
Okay, well, let me just ask you why, when they say you have to translate your film, and what does that mean? Do you have to put subtitles, or do you, how do you translate the film? What is, tell
sure.
us.
Sure, you would use it, yeah. I mean, I haven't done it yet, but I know for iTunes we had a closed caption file. For Google Play is the same thing. And for iTunes, for foreign markets, you'll need to have that closed caption track translated into the language for which, you know, for the territory you're going to be speaking. So I would look for translation services when we figure out which territories we're interested in for iTunes. I'm not quite sure what the other platforms use, but that's been, iTunes is, you know, probably one of the more palatable and, you know, probably one of the most more interesting platforms to be on internationally.
Great, yes. It's the most talked about. I think it's the most respected at this point. Well, I don't know. Amazon is taking over the world, so.
Well, it's cool to see. So competition is good, right? I mean, it's nice because there's more than one platform for us that's can seen as a major force globally. You know, Google's no slouch either, right? So having all three, I think, is good for us. I mean, in a way, you know, there used to be one way people would consume content. It would be VHS, and it would be DVD, and, you know, home video. Well, now it's not clear who the leader is going to be. But, you know, getting on all three platforms is probably pretty important. Let's not forget YouTube. And, you know, Vimeo is becoming a force as well. And VHX is a wall service. So, in a way, it'd be, you know, it's a benefit, and there's one, you know, major platform that you need to be on, and then that's it. But we'll see, and wait and see which also which platform is the most popular for your film. So we're in a position where we're going to see where's our film perform best, and that's kind of fun. We'll have to see in a couple months, which is.
Cool. You were able to get on to iTunes with the non-exclusive, so it was okay to get on Amazon too. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't heard of any exclusive deals. I'm seeing most films get released on all three platforms. We'll see I hope that remains the case, but fortunately, iTunes does not require exclusivity. And by the way, aggregators do not require exclusivity either. You just go with them for the platforms you choose. Obviously, you can't go to Amazon on more than one aggregator, but you can choose Google Play on one aggregator, let's say, and iTunes on another. But then there's a lot of complexity. You know, you're going to get reports from different companies, and it might be a little difficult to track down. But what I would recommend is talk to other filmmakers about their experiences working with distributors or aggregators before you make a decision. You know, try to find other titles that are being released for them and see what their experience is like. That can help you make your decision.
Right. Okay, well, let me just, do you have to be careful of overexposing your film project? Is there such a thing?
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch that. Do you have to be careful to overexpose?
I said you have to be careful not to overexpose your project, or is there such a thing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you've got to. It's nobody. You want to put your brand, and you want to connect with an audience, but you don't want to overdo it. Nobody wants to be spammed, of course. So, you know, be judicious about you know, how you share your emails, your posts. You know, interesting, you mentioned seeing a trailer 6 to 8 times. I wonder if you see it 8 to you know, multiples of 10, how that might, you know, you might have some overexposure there. But, you know, just like anything, you know, think of your film as a business and, you know, be smart about how you connect. And when you connect with people, usually you'll get some feedback, you know, how it's resonating with them. So
very important.
It's common sense.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, so you told me you were in, you did very well with your film festivals, and these were some important organizations that you were able to connect with.
You know, for this film, we the festivals were really helpful to us in connecting with an audience and also proponents for our film. Toronto Independent Film Festival, they invited us back to screen a second time, which really missed the closing film for their film festival. And, you know, there are also film festivals will do many times shout-outs once you reach a point where you're distributing your film. The Twin Cities Film Fest has always been a big proponent, and they're a film festival that's definitely nice. But also, you know, reach out, follow. What I would say is look at models for films that are doing well, that kind of represent what you want to do, and see how they're promoting themselves. We see which platforms they're on, which blogs they're on. Look at, you know, certainly look at IndieWire, look at Way Too Indie, FilmWax blogs and podcasts like FilmWax Radio, and your podcast as well. Listen and watch and see films that are there, how they're being presented, which film festivals are in, and keep track. Do your research and see which films, how they're being marketed and promoted, seeing what they're doing, and make notes.
Well, this is really important. So, Zachary, how many people did you have helping you with the social media?
So my producing partner, Rick Santos, has been instrumental in the success of getting our, I think we're up to close to 29,000 Facebook followers, and Twitter is doing pretty well, and we're doing, I think, pretty well on Instagram. I have to check. But he's been really helpful in identifying, you know, what sticks, what imagery we should use, how we should use the core assets. You want to make sure also that you slowly release your content. You don't, in my opinion, you want to have, it's a long tail of getting your film out there. So we've been kind of sharing imagery and content and videos in a way that has been consistent, but we don't want to too much content out there too fast. So we have kind of planned, you know, breed and content that we'll release on social media up until a few months after the distribution of our film.
Great. That's good planning. Well, let me ask you, with HBO and CBS creating their own downloads for video on demand, do you think others will do it, and is that going to be the new model or what?
Yeah, I think that seems to be the case, that, you know, basically everyone's looking at that being the model of distribution is, you know, internet-based digital distribution for content. And, you know, it's an exciting time for that. I mean, I think that it's probably important to think about your content and being ready to have it on, you know, certainly 1080p is important right now, but these other, you know, in the future, you might want to think about how you can get your film on 2K, even 4K, because these standards for the internet-based distribution, the resolution probably is only going to go up. So if you shoot your film in 4K, try to master in 4K. Or if you can up-res your material, because it seems to be that, you know, the content resolution is only going to go up. But that's a side note. I think it is exciting that, you know, these the companies are, by the way, who are big players in the cable industry, are finding ways to get their material by circumventing the cable platform. And it says to me that the way we consume content is going to be on multiple devices, and it'll be interesting to see when Apple releases their TV device, because I don't know much about it, but it seems like it's going to be sort of what the iPhone was to the smartphone industry, a way that it's a hybrid device, assuming what would probably be cable content before, and I assume what would be an internet-based device. So, yeah, it's good to be on. That's why we thought Apple iTunes would be a good platform to be on, because they seem to be innovators. And whenever they approach an industry like television or film, they seem to be pretty heavy hitters, if not dominators, in that industry. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm
we'll
just
see.
To filmmakers.
It's so exciting. I was just thinking that writing for low budgets is with brilliant stories. I think that's critical now. If you can write a script, maybe five locations or less, and put your money into stars, because actors are working for less money now. And it all starts with a good script, and you can attach your actors and directors. So what do you think about that?
Sure. I mean, I think no matter what, you should be thinking about being economical in your production budget and seeing how you can get the most for what you spend your production for on. And now more than ever, I think it's much easier to tackle the challenge of making a low-budget film with high production value because of the technology, because you don't necessarily need a large crew to light a scene, and you can see right away what it looks like. The equipment is high value, high production equipment is very accessible to people everywhere, and that's good. But you've got to think about putting your production dollars in front of your camera, and while you're doing it, start thinking about step one, which is think about what's unique about your project while you're developing and producing it. And again, we should take photos during that process, while you're casting, while you're, thinking of your strategies, while you're shooting. Just think about step one. And, certainly it is an exciting, more exciting time than ever to make a film because it's so accessible. But think about marketing that film early on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I believe and I teach. So tell me how people can find you.
Sure. Well, our film, as you mentioned before, is going to be on the iTunes store now. It is Nothing Without You. You can pre-order today. It gets released on March 24th. It'll be on Amazon, and it'll be on Google Play in early April. Better yet, follow the film on Facebook.com/NothingWithoutYouFilm. That's Facebook.com/NothingWithoutYouFilm. We're approaching 29,000 followers, and we use it to share news about the film on a regular basis.
Zachary, 29,000 followers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite a feat. Wow. And for people who are looking to know more about you and your production services, your email address is what?
Yeah, I'm at Zachary@ChainGangPictures. That's our production company named after our first film, American Chain Gang. So that's Zachary@ChainGangPictures, one word, .com. And I'm also on Twitter, Zachary@ZacharyIrving, one word, Zachary Irving.
It's fantastic. Thank you for sharing all this information. And I know I speak for hundreds of filmmakers who are going to really find this important to them. It's a shock to most filmmakers to think they really have to market their film. But that's the only way, isn't it?
Well, if you just think about what excited you, what made this film exciting to you in the first place, and keep that in mind throughout the whole process, it can be a lot of fun and not such a daunting task. Carol, it was really great talking with you. Hearing your voice, makes me so happy. And I think about all the great times we've had over the years talking about filmmaking. And it's a real pleasure to talk with you today.
Same here. I miss the St. James Club. I miss the New York.
we'll have to get together very soon, I hope, in person.
Yes.
Great to see you, Carol.
Great to see you in the future. Thank you so much. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
The show.
Yes, you're welcome. And I really enjoyed the conversation, Zachary. Learned a lot, and I can't tell you how much we all appreciate the wisdom that you share.
Thanks, Claire. We appreciate being on. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Be well. I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.